Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right. Welcome to a brand new episode of Gear Gamertag Radio. I know you guys been checking out the other content that I recorded at Obsidian with the game director. And we talked about a lot of things, especially the game mechanics of the game. But this one, this episode right here, is our hands-on impressions, what we got to play, what we got to see, and our experience. Actually, loved the tour at Obsidian. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to Xbox and Obsidian for inviting us to the studio and also giving us the opportunity to play the game ahead of time, too. You know, that was a lot of fun, man. Paris, how you been, man?
Good. And to be clear on this, just up front, this is not a review.
Not a review.
Of the Outer Worlds 2. This is just an early look at the Outer Worlds 2. And we kind of dived more into the actual RPG elements of the game. Because, you know, when we did the preview, that was just a prologue. So you didn't have your companions. You couldn't really start putting in a lot of skills and perks and start to create your build. So how long did we play?
We were there for all day. We were there all day,
but I want to say, I mean, we got at minimum a good 8 hours in. Let's just say that, like baseline, we got a good 8 hours of gameplay in on the Outer Worlds 2. And the gameplay that you'll see is just from one specific area, even though we played a lot more, you know, but before that point in time. So, yeah, again, like you said, you know, thank you to Obsidian Entertainment and to Xbox for inviting us out to the studio for the day. It was fantastic being able to get that tour and get the history of Obsidian, like how they're even in the building that they're in right now and the way they have their workflow structured with their various developers and teams with all the different games that they were working on. It was so cool to go, oh, that's where they made Fallout New Vegas. Oh, that's where they did, you know, Avowed. Or, oh, here's where the idea for Pentiment came about. Like, all this stuff that they were showing us during that tour was really, really cool. So, again, yeah, just big thank you to everyone over there for the invite and allowing us time, you know, to get hands-on with the Outer Worlds too.
Yeah, so much history in that building. I was like, oh, I was surrounded by history. It was really, really cool experiencing that, you know. Yeah, let's talk about Outer Worlds 2, Paris. Let's talk about it. Like, you know, for me, you know, I go way back with Obsidian, of course, right, with the early games and everything. But I remember when the first Outer Worlds came out, I fell in love with that game, man. I was like, you know, this is my game of the year. My game of the year. I was saying that to everybody. People were like, really? I go, you need to play it. It's different, man. It has the RPG elements and everything. They had some great story, the companions in the first game and everything. And the game got some awards, right? Some Game of the Year awards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. The thing that, that issue that I had a little bit about the game, because, you know, I played it multiple times. I did different conversations, different dialogues, different missions that I missed out the first time I played it. Was I found it a little bit easy, the first game. That's why the second and third and fourth time that I played it, I always had it as high as the difficulty, and it still felt a little bit easy. The thing that I noticed about this game, part two, it is not easy. When I say it's not easy, I'm talking about in so many different ways where it could be the game mechanics, like, you know, combat, it could be dialogue, it could be so many other things that it felt very, very different. And I think compared to the previous game, that is something I think it was missing. And I love the challenge. Now I could take my time, because that's one of our mistakes yesterday, Paris. We were rushing it. And because we were rushing it, we were underpowered when we went to certain areas in the game that it took us longer to beat. But once we figure out certain things and once we figure out how to upgrade our characters and adding these perks, which is very important, let me tell you, it is very important to take your time and finish all these side quests as much as you can, because when you move forward in the game, it's going to help you with the dialogue. It's going to help you with the combat. And look, we went to some areas. There was some enemies that, woof, it took forever. That I even ran out of bullets trying to figure that out. Yeah, Paris was frustrated the whole time. He's like, I gotta go back. I gotta go back and finish another quest. I'm like, all right. You felt the same too, Paris, or what?
Yeah, so because I know you put the interview up with Brandon, the game director. I also got to talk to him as well. And the conversation we were having is the fact that, because, and Brandon said this multiple times just since since Summer Game Fest and obviously through Tokyo Game Show to now that, you know, he was very specific about what kind of RPG that he wanted this to be with the Outer Worlds 2. And to your point, it's not easy. I mean, we're playing it on normal. Yeah, we're a little underpowered, but even playing on normal and we're at the right levels, you're still going to run into some difficult combat situations as well. And the type of builds that you create is going to be very important as you traverse through this. So the one thing that I noticed that I was talking to him about is the fact that even they, this game is not going to hold your hand at all. It's not going to hold your hand. It's not going to go, here's the marker on the map. Just follow it right here. And it's going to take you to the thing that the quest is taking you to. Instead, that marker is going to take you to an area. Now you need to go figure it out. You need to talk to people in there. You need to actually, you know, go discover through the area and look in every nook and cranny to go figure out whatever this thing is they're trying to get. Obviously, I want to be very careful with spoilers, you know, even in that first area. Because like you said, we rush through it because even talking to Brandon, and again, I'm going to be very vague because I don't want to spoil anything. I want people to experience this. That first area, once you get past the prologue, I mean, you could, and I was talking to other people at Obsidian about this as well. I mean, honestly, you could spend 10 to 12 hours just in that first area, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so much to do from a quest standpoint, talking to NPCs, me running around like freaking it was Benny Hill yakking his sacks going, help! Like, oh, he saw me!
Everybody heard you. Right? Everybody heard you.
Oh, my God. But that was so much fun to do that. And there's one character, I'm not going to say his name, but there's this quest where you got to go find these two people. And one of them, this son of a gun, I went back. I was upgrading speech. I was doing everything I thought I needed to do. This son of a gun will not cooperate with you at all. And that's when I was getting frustrated. I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. What? Why is he not?
He's
like, yeah, I would do that. So then I was like, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to go do this quest because this will unlock the thing that'll get us to the Vox Relay, which is the gameplay that you'll see, you know, from our footage. So then that I did that. And even that, I'm in this thing and I was like, oh, wait, everybody tried to kill me. All right, let me go back and get this thing. And then I go back. Wait, they're still mad at me. So even though I have this thing, they're still trying to kill me. Right. And I was talking to Brandon about that. And he was even saying that there is a cooling off period for where you say you stole something or you accidentally shot at someone and now everyone's after you. There is like a 3 days in game time. There's a cooldown and they'll kind of forget about it and you can go back and reapproach it. But if you just go on a killing spree and there is a penalty from that where they will permanently be pissed at you no matter what you do. So you got to be careful of that. But that's what I like because there's dialogue solutions to some of these quests that you'll do. Obviously you can go and run and gun depending on the skills and the perks that you pick. Like I was doing hacking, I was doing engineering. I think brilliance is the other one I call. You'll see it in my footage because I kind of run through each skill and perk that I picked up. But I was more focused on those. But there's a like when you get you've seen the skills from the preview, but man, when you get to the perks, I mean, there's like over 90 plus perks that you can go through as you're starting to level up. There's some you'll get just doing a quest or a particular thing. Like I remember I went and I did a quest where I picked up an item for someone in a minefield, right? Picking up that thing gave me a perk for that item. What it does, I don't know, because it'd be later in the game, but that was interesting to see that you'll see stuff like that. I mean, obviously the companions that you'll meet along the way, you could potentially piss off your companions and they will leave you, right? Or you could put them in the situation. Like, I won't spoil anything, but Brandon told me about one situation where I could have taken a companion to get something solved and essentially just sacrifice the companion. Like, they'll kill him, and, you know, and then you'll be able to go on your way. Stuff like that. So how you treat your companions matter, right? Again, how you deal with certain factions and NPCs are going to matter. And this is just the first area, by the way, that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That is probably the most impressive thing that I've seen so far is the size and the scope of the Outer Worlds 2 compared to the original Outer Worlds where And I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I almost feel like that first there was damn near the whole first game.
It's crazy.
Big. It's pretty big. But yeah. A lot of different, like I said, this is I ain't holding your hand RPG. And Brandon's talked about this a million times that when you spec into something, there ain't no respec. That's it. So you really need to, and this is the, like I said, we kind of rushed through it, but even when I was talking with Brandon and some people, I am definitely, when we review The Outer Worlds 2, I am taking my time, and I'm going to suggest that to anyone that plays this game. Take your time. Be very thoughtful about the skills and the perks that you're going to go, because as we already know from the previews, when, you know, you can pick perks that are beneficial, but then there's going to be like an anti one that's going to have a negative effect on you as well. So you got to be mindful of that when you're first building out your character too. So I'm very excited to continue what I got to play. I mean, we'll obviously see what the full game is like, but the different weapon choices that you're going to have, the mods are going to be able to pick up, the different armors, the crafting in it, things like this. These are all RPG things that excite me that, bro, you'll see it in the footage. You just look at it and I'm like, man, it's a lot to do here. So I'll say it one more time. Do not rush The Outer Worlds 2. If you are an RPG person, you will just be able to go into the sandbox and play around with your build. Because, again, you're probably going to do multiple playthroughs because you want to go do multiple builds, which I think is part of the appeal of them locking down respec. You can't just halfway through the game decide, now I want to be a commando instead of a ninja or something, right? I'm just going to respec into that. Nope. Whatever you decide to do at the beginning, that's going to be your playthrough. That's going to be your play style. And if you want to do a different one, you'll obviously have to start up a new game, new build. There's going to be complete choices and sections of the game that won't be accessible to you depending on the type of build and the perks that you have as well. So I'm excited to explore more, but it was actually, while it might have been a little frustrating, it was actually hilarious being underleveled and going into some of these encounters, because like I said, I was just hooting and hollering the whole freaking time we were playing. So it was a good time.
And that was just normal difficulty. I could imagine hard difficulty.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Another thing that we could talk about, like, the world is pretty big, that first area that we were at, that there's also hidden areas to like, there's so many different choices for you to pick and complete that main quest or side quest. And that's the thing that I love, because everybody's going to have a different experience. We're going to be talking about, like, hey, Paris, I went to a sewer and I found something. And you probably, wait, really? I went to the front and just had a conversation and that's how I got in. So that's the thing that I love, that there's so many different type of choices, more than the first game, that you will eventually figure out a different way to complete that quest or that main quest. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, my anti perk that I had, Paris, was something about my knee, where if I sneak in and I get up, the enemies will hear my leg like going and they will get their attention, right? But what I was doing too, because I'm like, okay, I have that, but there's got to be a way for me to help my perk, you know, make it a little bit better. So I had enough points for me to upgrade to ninja, and that also helped me out too. But also with that anti perk, it gives you bonus experience points on other things that, you know, yeah, it will make the game a little bit difficult if you try to hide, but if you achieve it, you will get more points for your character, you know? So
yeah,
I was just like taking my time exploring. I was telling Paris, hey, look, I found this item. It's all the way on top of the hill. You have to figure out how to get up there. I figure it out. And Paris like, all right. It took him a while, but he got there. And I saw he did it a different way than
I did. I did it a different way. Yeah.
And I'm like, how the hell you managed to do that? That's the thing that I love, that we're going to be having so many different type of experience. And I didn't get that vibe from the first game at all, you know? So I like that a lot, man. That was really
cool. It was good. But that's the point. Like, the same objective can be tackled multiple ways depending on your build and what you've specced into. Whereas you were able to, you know, kind of, I think what you kind of climbed up and jumped, I wasn't able to do that because my build didn't support that. But because I was more of an engineer, I basically fixed something that allowed me to then go get to that objective. So yeah, it was really cool. That's what I'm saying. That's the appeal to me of this, like being like just this pure Obsidian RPG. You know what I mean? Whereas they're not going to hold your hand. There's going to be a lot of different build opportunities. Obviously, create a character. You're going to design a character to look like whatever you want. and you're going to be able to play this your way, you know, and your decisions are going to matter as you progress through this. So I'm definitely excited to play more. Like I said, this was just a taste of what to expect. And I think, if anything, the fact that we felt like we were rushing and we played 8+ hours of the game and we felt like we were rushing just to get to an early part of the game says a lot about what you'll be able to do when you play.
Yeah. Another thing that I discovered, I don't want to say the name of the area or anything, but yeah. There was parts where I had to go to an area and I wanted to study the surroundings of that area. I found caves. I found a cable connected to that area that was taking me somewhere else. I'm like, what is this? But I never went to the other side to see what it was.
Yeah.
There's so much discovery in there, man. Yeah. So much, where I even walked around and I saw people on the side that needed help because maybe there was some soldiers either trying to arrest them or something. And I was just like, man, this is so cool, man. Like, I can't wait to play this game at home, full version, take my time, you know, talk to my companions, learn about their story. Because that's something that I love about the first game, was different stories that every person had in that game. That it helped me to connect more with the story and connect more with how they are as a person, how they fight, you know, all this stuff like that. There's so much of that type of dialogue right there, right? And also discovering new weapons. There was weapons that Paris found that I totally missed it. I'm like, yo, where the hell you found that weapon?
Yeah. Remember that one gun I had at the very end?
It was in the Vox Relay.
It was in the Vox Relay. It was like a biohazard gun. You know what I mean?
That was pretty cool.
You could mod it too. There was a mod that you could put on. And obviously, we ran out of time, so I don't know what kind of mods would have been on it. But I also had like a shock rifle, and I had a shock machine gun as well. And I modded the shock rifle. And yeah, you'll even see it in some of my footage where, like, you shoot one person, but if another enemy was close enough, it would put shock damage onto them as well. So that was kind of cool seeing stuff like that. And that's just, again, tip of the iceberg of the different type of weapons and mods that we're going to see in the game. So, like I said, I'm really looking forward to exploring more. Because did you turn on the rate? Like, if you're in a certain area, you could turn on the radio signal. And you were getting a message from someone that basically wanted you to help them go do something. And this is, again, time I started to go do it. And then I kept dying. I was like, screw that. I'm going to go do this instead.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. I didn't experience that. What I experienced was I would go to a house or I'll go somewhere and there was a radio there. And I would just turn on the radio and listen. And I hear people talking, but I was just like in a rush. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And I would just... So it's kind of like that Fallout vibe where you will hear somebody broadcasting a message that will take you to a mission, maybe? Yeah,
exactly.
Another quest? Oh, cool. I totally missed that. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
What else stood out to you, Paris? Like, besides the game mechanics and the weapons, was there anything?
I mean, running in Unreal 5, because, you know, we played to a close to near final build of the game. So, I mean, I can't say from a visual standpoint, Unreal 5, I mean, looked really good. I mean, you know, if you played Avowed, similar in that aspect, I would say. I enjoyed it. I mean, because you know, you could switch into third person if you wanted to. I just played in first person. I was like, you can go to third person, and then I just went right back to first person. As far as playing, I think what stood out to me, like I was saying before, is that the game does not hold your hand. Like, the game will guide you to an area, but then it is up to you to actually discover whatever the item is in that area that you need. Or if you had to go investigate looking for evidence on someone, it just takes you to the general area. Now you need to go from house to house or whatever, and you need to go in and out and start discovering stuff and figuring it out. So I like that. I like that, you know, it's going to make me think. It's going to make me slow down and make sure of the decisions that I want to make in the game. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Now, people are probably going to be asking, you know, is this similar to Avowed? And this, to me, plays very, very different. It definitely plays different. Yeah. In your opinion, why is different when it comes to, like, comparing gameplay-wise?
I mean, I can say this just from our conversations with people at Obsidian. Their teams are very siloed. So the Outer Worlds 2 team they worked on The Outer Worlds too. It wasn't like they were flipping back and forth and helping on Avowed or anything like that, and vice versa. The Avowed team was not helping on The Outer Worlds too. Just from that fact alone, you're going to get different experiences from different, you know, game directors, because obviously Brandon had his vision for The Outer Worlds 2, whereas Carrie Patel had her vision for Avowed. And you can see those differences, even though it's the same studio.
Yep. Yep. I'll say this, man, before I wrap it up, I am more than ever excited to play the full version of The Outer Worlds 2. Like, I was excited, but I think going to the studio and actually having some hands-on time with it. And I know we played the prologue, I believe, like a month or two ago, which it was also exciting. But let me tell you, after that prologue, it's a different beast in the game. It's challenging, more challenging. And I think my second playthrough, I'm probably going to have some different choices, because I did that with the prologue where I finished it four times. And every single time I had different dialogue, different choices, different locations, and I felt the other locations that I found made it even more challenging than the ones that I picked the first time. So that's the beauty about this game. The more you play, the more you discover new things, and it's probably going to be even more challenging for you, which is fun. Like, I think everybody wants that, you know? And again, you could change the difficulty if you want and make it just story and just vibe and all that stuff. But look, for us, playing it normal, it was a lot of fun. Yes, it was challenging, but I think there's something that we could still complete these quests and finish and continue with the game. It's not something that you're going to get stuck and not have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, like we had a great time the whole time. It was pretty clear to me that, okay, if you did more of the side missions or like fetch it quest items that were in the game, you're going to be able to get more XP, which is going to give you more skill points where you can spec in and be able to, you know, resolve whatever issue that you might particularly be stuck on, be it combat or a dialogue tree or something like that. But yeah, I mean, just to your point, just to iterate again, obviously what we played is not the review. I mean, I've actually kind of understand why Obsidian wanted us to get a second look at the game, because I just know some of the feedback that I had been seeing about the preview of the prologue, they just felt it wasn't enough. Like, oh, I don't know. Because you're really not diving into the true RPG side of this just from the prologue. Because again, it's just introducing you to the game. Whereas this, now the full sandbox is open to us and we could essentially do whatever we want. And I think that's going to play out a lot better for people once they get their hands on it, you know, for the review period. So totally get why they wanted us to have a second look. And to your point, it definitely has me wanting to play more of the other Outer Worlds too, for sure.
And also you got to understand too, that there's a lot of story that the team doesn't want to get to go out there and spoil the whole thing. Because the best thing is, play the game yourself without spoilers, and you're going to love it even more. But if you already know everything based on a preview, it kind of killed the vibe. So I get why they had to do that with the prologue and not with this. There's certain things we can't talk about, because it ruins the experience, in my opinion, once you know more about like the story and stuff like that.
Oh, 100%.
It's good to know the basics, you know, the basics, like how we're doing it now. And yo, just play it. And you see why we love it so much. And again, this is not a review. This is just a hands-on preview of what we got to play. But yeah, Paris, like you said, this area felt really, really big. Really big. And that was just a small taste of what's to come, man. I can imagine other places that we go to. Oh, my God. Okay, that was their goal. Their goal was more choices, larger areas, more weapons, more perks, bigger experience than before. And I think they managed to do that.
No, 100%. Absolutely.
Anything else?
No. I mean, I think that's it. Again, like we said at the top, you know, just thank you to Obsidian and Xbox for the invite up to the studio. Get more hands-on time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. And shout out to Brandon, the whole team, man. It was great talking to him and everybody else, man, behind the scenes. So, all right, everyone. Until next time, we're out. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.